What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So says A.W. Tozer, a 20th century American pastor and author. He wrote these words in the opening chapter of his celebrated classic, The Knowledge of the Holy. In this book, Tozer argues that the modern church's decline is due to its low view of God. And he believes that our conception of God is the fundamental driver for our spiritual health, our morality, even our behavior. No person, he writes, can ever rise above his or her own ideas about God. I wonder what you think about that, especially about his popular comment. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Does that ring true for you? Well, perhaps it is a bit of an overstatement, but I do think Tozer has a point. It's just that I wonder that when it comes to his own conception of God, if at the end of the day he actually starts at the wrong place. You see, Tozer, to combat what he views as a low view of God, well, he decides in his book to climb the highest mountain that he can find so that he can explore what theologians call the incommunicable attributes of God. That's right, Tozer's God stands high and far above everything else. He's transcendent, infinite, boundless, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, immutable, above the clouds, untouchable, far, far away from any of us. That's his starting point. And it's a conception of God that did seem to filter down into Tozer's own life and behaviors, as his own personal devotion to the mountaintop often meant that he neglected matters on the ground. Important matters like, you know, his wife and seven children. His biographer tells us that while Tozer fiercely pursued intimacy with God, he largely shunned it with other people, including his own family. He was often unavailable, both emotionally and physically, spending countless hours secluded in prayer and study, even while at home. His children later described their mother as being, for all intents and purposes, a single parent. After Tozer died, his wife remarried a man named Leonard, and she is reported to have made this comment to her friends. She said, "Tozer loved Jesus, but Leonard loves me." Ouch. Now, who really knows what other factors might have been at play in terms of Tozer's neglect of his own family? But might one key factor be that very factor that Tozer himself identifies, that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us? What I mean to say is this. Instead of starting in the clouds with these vast conceptions of what God is like, what if Tozer had started on the ground? How might that have changed the way he engaged those around him, especially his family? Yes, it is the story of humanity to build our towers tall into the sky in a vain attempt to comprehend a lofty God. But it's the story of God to condescend to the depths of the earth to reveal himself to humanity, even if that means he has to descend all the way down into the valley of the shadow of death. This, my friends, is the story of Jesus. And it's the very story that John is trying to tell us with his gospel account. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he writes in the beginning of his gospel. And we have seen his glory, For no one has ever seen God, but now in the person of Jesus, by coming down to us, down here on the ground, God has made himself known. Remarkable words. I find it interesting that John goes on here to contrast this coming down of Jesus with the revelation Moses receives on Mount Sinai. High up there on the mountain, with the clouds as thick as smoke, with the thunder's deafening claps exploding overhead, the flashes of lightning, the people trembling with fear. Don't you remember? Moses couldn't even look at the face of God. Remember that it was on this mountain too that God revealed his name to Moses. Remember this, I am who I am. I don't know about you, but that sounds like something we should file under the incommunicable attributes of God, doesn't it? I mean, it's why Tozer spends so much time in his book discussing this scene high upon the mountain. It's what gets his attention. I mean, wow, it's what gets our attention as well. This God is beyond our comprehension. But John, he wants to bring this conception of God down to the ground. Because according to John, something revolutionary has occurred. Something that should reorient our ideas about God. Something that should shake and bake what comes into our minds when we think about God. And how does John do this? How does he get our heads out of the clouds and back down on the ground? Well, he does this by stringing together these sayings of Jesus that all allude to the name of God, known as the I Am sayings. These sayings are peppered throughout John's gospel so that the name God gives Moses way up there on top of the mountain is now being used by Jesus down here on the ground. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. There are seven of these I am sayings spoken by Jesus throughout John's gospel, and the one right in the middle, arguably the key saying of them all, is what we celebrate today, each year on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. You see what John is doing. He wants us to know that Jesus is the clearest picture we have of the God who calls himself, I am. No one has ever seen God, that is, until now. The psalmist, he famously declares, the Lord is my shepherd. And you'll notice that the word Lord is written in small caps. That's to cue us in to the fact that in Hebrew, this is the name of God, I am. And we really don't know what this I am shepherd looks like. Until now. Now we get to behold him, not high up in the clouds, boundless and far away, transcendent and omni, whatever, but right here, up close and personal. Yes, he was in the beginning with God. Yes, all things came into being through him, but look, he is first and foremost a shepherd, and a good shepherd at that. My friends, according to John, this must be our starting point. We must start on the ground when it comes to our conceptions of God, on the ground with the Good Shepherd. Listen, I hate to keep picking on Tozer here, but it's shocking, really, that nowhere in his best-selling book, the topic of which is God himself, does he ever mention the Good Shepherd. In fact, he doesn't really talk much about Jesus at all, about his life and his teaching, about his ministry to the poor and the marginalized, about his critiques of the religious authorities. No. He only brings Jesus into the conversation to hammer home the point that this Jesus meets his definition of the divine. that this Jesus shares in all these high and lofty, incommunicable attributes that Tozer himself goes on and on and on about. This is such a common tendency among Christians today, to begin with our own philosophical notions of what a cosmic deity must be like, to begin with our own lofty ideas of supreme divine being, and then plug Jesus into that. It's just that the gospel does it the other way around. The gospel starts on the ground with Jesus, with his life and teaching, his self-emptying, his humility and self-sacrificial love, and then says, "Behold, this is your God. Look there, nailed to a tree. This is our God." The opening words from the book of Hebrews says just as much. It begins like this: "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, who is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being." My friends, something has changed when it comes to our conceptions of God, when it comes to what comes into our minds when we think about who God is. No longer must we start way up there in the clouds. No, now we must start down here on the ground with Jesus, our good shepherd. Indeed, this is one reason among many why we here at All Saints love and have embraced for our children on Sunday mornings what is known as the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, something that has actually had a tremendous impact on the overall spiritual health of this church. To call catechesis of the Good Shepherd a curriculum really doesn't do it justice. It's rather a method, an approach for facilitating a religious experience among children and adults, an experience that values wonder and contemplation and the enjoyment of God in all things. And the reason they call it Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is because that's their starting point. That's the image of God they want each and every child to gaze upon before anything else: the God who is revealed to us in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. The one who calls his sheep by name and leads them out to find pasture. The one who protects and cares for them. The one who knows his own and his own know him. The one who loves us even when we go astray. He will search for us. He will lay down his life for us so that we might have life and have it abundantly. This is the first thing that must come into our minds when we start thinking about God. This is where we begin, on the ground, with Jesus the Good Shepherd. He's the one who sets the trajectory for all of our conversations about God. And listen to this: any notion of God that wanders off this path is ultimately headed in the wrong direction. So yes, Tozer, you're right. This just might be one of the most important things about us, because if we get this wrong, if we conceive of God without Jesus at the center, oh, then what great harm can be inflicted? As a pastor, I've come across way too many Christians suffering from conceptions of God that look nothing like Jesus. Conceptions of God that scare me half to death, that end up traumatizing people. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we hosted a gathering here at All Saints called Let's Talk About Mental Health and the Church. And Olivia had lined up a social worker and a nurse practitioner to help facilitate a conversation around this topic. And about 15 people from All Saints showed up. And one of the questions that was put to the group had to do with whether church involvement supports or hinders a person's overall mental health. And the answer was clear: it depends. It depends on a lot of factors, But one of these factors has to do with how God is talked about and understood within a local church context. People's mental health issues are going to be greatly exasperated if God is portrayed as a punitive puppet master who is almost always mad at you. A God who has to hold his nose to even come close to you because you're such a filthy sinner. This, my friends, is not an environment conducive for mental health, much less spiritual health. But if a church starts on the ground with Jesus as their good shepherd, if God is conceived primarily as a God of love, a God who is always for us, always working all things together for our good, a God overflowing with joy and peace and kindness, light from light, then my goodness gracious, that's a total game changer. That's an environment where one's life with God can thrive. Because yes, what comes into our minds when we think about God just might be one of the most important things about us. It just depends on where you start. So, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have revealed yourself most fully in the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh, that when we look to him, we behold your glory and we see what you are truly like. May our conceptions of God, though they are always incomplete and fall woefully short, may they always begin and continue with what has been revealed to us, with who has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus. We pray this in his most glorious name. Amen.